Dancy Lagarde fans, you will be thrilled to know a book is coming out if you fund it. Via Unbound, we are publishing The Dancy Lagarde Reader by Alice Fraser and Dancy Lagarde, a glorious insight into the world of Dancy Lagarde, self-published romance maven and online bestseller. If you would like to find out how to support it, go to thebuglepodcast.com. If we get enough support, we will publish the book. That's a real thing that's going to happen. Thebuglepodcast.com to support The Dancy Lagarde Reader.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, 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 posters, and welcome to The Last Post, the final word in this, the most post-final of post-worlds, as I circle the ruined Earth in my orbiting space station slash luxury podcasting studio. I look at the dark wasteland that remains of humanity's birthplace and wonder, is there anyone still out there? I stare at what we've made of this place, the burgeoning new cities tentatively rebuilding fragmentary civilizations on the rubble of totally dragoned ruins in the north, the tentacular spread of the octopus overlords in the global south, the huge warring shrines to Silvio Berlusconi and to Dorothy the Dinosaur in the wreckage of Rome. Warily watching from above the steel-grey, ash-choked skies, I sigh and think, what is this going to do to my listenership metrics? Today's show has two guests gleaned from the surviving few safely sheltered from the flames of the Piers Morgan, Boris Johnson, dragon Brexit love child in his volcano lair. It is self-made ex-billionaire, if money was still worth anything. Josh Gondelman, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. So happy to be here, which is remarkable because nothing feels happy lately. This apocalypse has been, I don't want to say it, but apocalyptic. It has been bad over here.
Well, later you'll be giving us our top story. And later in the show, if we can get through to the ruined compound that is his horrifying funfair murder dome, we'll have Gareth Reynolds supporting in. We'll get to our top story in a bit, which is news from the post-apocalypse, specifically from your volcano lair, Josh Gondelman. But first, some headlines of stories we won't have time for. And transatlantic tensions as US news sources raise doubts about the origins of the apocalypse, furiously unwilling to accept that the end of the world was European in origins, rather than American Politico-related, alongside backlash from the post-Brexit wreckage of Britain that they could be considered European by the Americans. Josh, are you aware of what caused this apocalypse?
No, I was in my volcano. I heard that it was coming. You know, I was... reading the news on Josh Book, which is it's like Facebook, but it's only for me and people that I know, so it's pretty nice. But I was getting some pretty wild conspiracy theories from friends, relatives, and frenemies and frelatives. So it was just all sorts of misinformation. So I don't really know what the truth of the matter is. My frelatives, they'll post anything.
And Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who survived the White House flooding by riding Bob the Sentient Trash Island onto a nearby lake, has made a statement that America will rebuild bigger, better, and more American than before. And he has pledged to unify many of the doomsday cults that have sprung up in the wake of the apocalypse. Do you think our vice president will be successful in that?
Gosh, she's so charismatic, and the way he rode that trash island was really majestic. You'd think it would look kind of sad or pathetic, but it looked really muscly and encouraging. One thing about Vice President The Rock Johnson, under President Bob the Sentient Trash Island, is they believe in unity over everything, right? And so he believes in unifying with the Doomsday Cult. So he's trying to find a middle ground between Let's rebuild the smoldering shambles of our nation and let's drink poison and ascend to a different plane. So I guess, like, what is the compromise? We drink half the poison?
Yeah, or just normal Kool-Aid, which is probably not that good for you in the long run.
No, not now. We need nutrients in this new world. So we're drinking half a glass of poison, half a glass of Kool-Aid, and just vomiting profusely while we rebuild the nation. It feels like maybe compromise and unity isn't what we need in this post-apocalyptic world.
Speaking of compromise and unity, after the unfortunate conflagration that ended Vladimir Putin, apparently Navalny has risen up stronger than ever. He's now immune to all neurotoxins, all nuclear waste, and basically almost everything. Like Achilles, he has one spot in his body that is apparently vulnerable to injury, but until they find that, he's going to be in charge of Russia. How do you feel about that? I know you have some ties with Russia in your businesses.
A lot of ties. I wouldn't even say ties at this point. I would say we're positively soldered to Russia. We're just bonded. We're welded to Russia. And I think that's great. I think it's kind of like, do you remember when the Bering Land Bridge went from Alaska to Russia? We're connected more than that in kind of a Pangaeic fashion. So I think whoever's in charge, I like that guy. That's my official stance on Russia. Whoever's in charge, I like that guy. I also have only one physical weakness, which is my human body. Other than that, I have no weaknesses at all. Just psychologically, I'm incredibly fortified. I'm optimized. But physically, I have become kind of incredibly tender in this post-apocalyptic world. My whole body kind of, excuse the expression, but is the texture of melts in your mouth like a fine filet. So anything that touches me, it is a real problem. I do not care for it, and it will cause me to dissolve.
If you and Russia were sort of in that famous horror film, Human Caterpillar, would you be the front end?
Or... Human Caterpillar?
Yeah, and if you were in that horror film / beautiful teenage coming of age story, Human Caterpillar, would you be the front end or the back end, or would the front end be attached to the back end in a sort of a Ouroboros situation?
Great question. I think if I was the front end, I would, again, immediately dissolve, starting at the buttocks, into the mouth of the person in front of me, and they would kind of like eat their way through me. And oh. If I was the back end, I would kind of melt and be kind of just a gelatinous ass bag for the person in front of me. It would be bad. The problem is I'm so used to my incredibly rigorous regimen of pastes and shakes and Soylents. I made kind of a blander Soylent because I can. And now with this apocalypse, I have not been able to have my fully optimized nutrition, and my bones. Have you heard of super osteoporosis? That's what's happened to me. My bones are like a flute.
Well, thank you. That's all the time we have for our headlines right now, because now it's time for your ads. Your ad section now, because the five things you can guarantee surviving in a post-apocalypse are death, taxes, cockroaches, Silvio Berlusconi, and advertising executives. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Gyms, Gym, and Gymnasiums, Wasteland Wonderland Fitness Bootcamp. If you're wondering if you'll make it in the harsh new world, come to the Ruthless Masters of Brutal Fitness. We've been giving our trainees horrifying life or death challenges since before it was fashionable or even legal. Come to Gyms, Gym, and Gymnasium, and if you can make it through the barbed wire and mutant wolves to our fitness center / CrossFit black box, you're automatically a never-leave member of our thriving community. Gyms, Gym, and Gymnasium. Remember, sweat is just fat crying for the lost world. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the one product on the ghastly shell that is the consequences of all Earth's bad decisions that's worth more than its weight in gold. Half a glass of water. Half a glass of water. Don't kill for it. Yet.
Oh, I would kill for half a glass of water. I'd kill for a quarter glass of water. I mean, to be fair, for me to say that, that's not much. I've killed for very scant reasons in the past. My murder drones, however, I have no access to them because in this world, there was an electromagnetic pulse, and the file where I keep all my passwords was corrupted, so I have no control over my murder drones, no access to my Bitcoin wallet, which that's where I keep my Subway frequent customer coupon, and I was so close to a free sub, and now it's gone. I shouldn't have kept that in the blockchain. That was my fault.
When you say you were so close to a free sub, you meant you had nearly bought 40 million Subway sandwiches and were close to a free submarine. Which might be useful in your semi-submerged volcano lair.
Yes, if you buy 40 million, they give you a nuclear-powered sub to patrol your volcano lair. And it's little known and infrequently used, that loophole. But I was ready to know it and use it. Look, this is kind of an intimate thing to say on a podcast, but I have kind of remote electronic access to my electronic nuclear-powered sex dungeon, where I was. I was battened down in the sex dungeon when the apocalypse hit, because it's also my panic room and also my doomsday bunker, because I feel like you've got a sex dungeon, you've got a doomsday bunker, why not combine and just kind of bone your way through the apocalypse? However, I was alone at the time, and the electromagnetic pulse locked me in, so I'm just here being sexed to the point of near death by my various sexual implements. It is horrible. And again, in such a weakened state as I'm in, with no super soylent, just the whips, the chains, the leather outfits. Picture the beginning of Cinderella, right, where the birds are dressing her, but with drones and the kind of the gimp from Pulp Fiction, that outfit. And it's just a horrifying scene, and I need to get out, because otherwise I will quite literally be machine f***ed to death. So I need to remember this password very badly.
Is it true that you're just surviving on flavored lube?
Yes. I've been eating nothing but lube, although, fortunately, I have quite a stash of soy lube, soylent but lube, so that way when you're having sex, you're actually fueling your body when you're doing mouth stuff, and so I do have like enough, there's little packets, so I've been rationing them just like, just little droplets of soy lube, but it's been weeks at this point, and man cannot survive on lube alone. That's what it says in the first sentence of my autobiography. And it holds true in a post-apocalyptic world.
Well, I'm glad that despite everything going terribly badly, you're having an opportunity to write. Before we go on to our top story, though, there is, speaking of sex, one more advertisement in our ad section. A new novel is out by self-published romance maven and online bestseller Dancy Lagarde. We will read.
No. It can't get any hornier in here. I'll perish.
We'll read an abbreviated and heavily censored extract after this later in the show. But for now, set in the 90s era of the before time, Bed and Boardroom is an escapist retro romance with a supernatural twist. Annabelle is a sea change artist in a homemade dress who runs a charming B&B by the famous tourist hotspot Whimsical Lake in the times before the internet. She dreams of a quiet, loveless marriage after watching both her parents literally die of love when they were caught in a horrible swingers fire.
Oh, this is too relatable.
She supports her failing business and lonely heart with her handmade porcelain art puppies, but struggles to make ends meet. That's until she meets Gable Gable. Gable is a high-powered businessman in a big suit. He has a very expensive watch and no emotions. He's always angry and aggressive, but they don't count as emotions because he's a man. Women are playthings to him, status symbols that he leaves in his car when he buys a new car. And never thinks of again. He's left a string of successful business deals, abandoned cars, and broken hearts in his wake, and he never wants anything to change. That's until one night when he's driving past Whimsical Lake and his expensive car breaks down because he's forgotten whether it takes unleaded petrol or diesel, or maybe because of sabotage by a business rival. Caught on a downslope and unable to remember where the expensive handbrake is, he falls into the lake and is saved by Annabelle, who is on her nightly boat whimsy expedition. When he awakens a week later, he's missed his business deal and he has a mildly broken arm and the doily-strewn surroundings of Annabelle's art retreat. Unable to CEO over the small town's one landline, Gable's inherently masculine angry aggression has no option but to turn into his third emotion, lust. Lust towards his buxom rescuer, but she wants none of his business penis, and relentlessly tends to him until his lust begins to turn into love, and with his love, her lust for love is sparked into a mutually relentless conflagration of conversations about what a relationship really means, interspersed with heated almost kissing until they actually kiss in a kiss that is as sexy as sex until they have sex, which is even sexier. But that's not all. More business sabotage takes place as a mysterious series of continuing assassination attempts on Gable's life threaten to tear their burgeoning romance apart. Together they must solve the business sabotage and find a middle ground between Annabelle's arty heart and Gabe's business penis. Is it possible? Find out in Bed and Boardroom. Available now under the bed in all bed and breakfasts.
Oh boy. So here's what's happening now. Upon hearing this sexy language, a bunch of kind of smart dildos, right? Like dildos that are part of the Internet of Things. They're on end vertically, and they're dancing around the room like the broomsticks from Fantasia. And I'm terrified that they're gonna just pummel me.
Well, before that happens, I hope you have time to do our top story for today.
Oh, I mean, we'll see. It's bad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And that's your ad section for today. Top story today is your apocalypse. Josh Gondelman, what's happening in the world of you right now?
I mean, oh, boy. Okay, well, so let me paint a picture for you. I'm in this sex dungeon just desperately trying to remember my online passwords, because until then, I'm stuck here. My murder drones have spread across the United States. This is what I'd planned in the event of an apocalyptic situation. My murder drones would spread out across the United States and commandeer Capitol buildings across the country so that my kind of uglio technocracy would continue to thrive. And so most of my murder drones are senators. They have fine heads of white masculine hair that have sprouted up to get people to respect them. They each are carrying a Bible. They love them. They're so much more popular than I ever was. When I get out of here, I'm going to apologize for their overthrow of the government while still continuing to fully reap the benefits of it. But right now, my bones are just porous. My flesh is delectable. My mind has deteriorated. And I just need one password so I can get out of this sexy dungeon, get my murder drones under control, assume the various legislative positions, you know, manipulate them to various legislative positions throughout the United States government, and regain my fortune. Because a problem that happened was I moved all my money into Bitcoin, which, again, I have no access to because I don't have my password to it. And during the apocalypse, the Dow Jones is skyrocketing. The economy has never been better, despite the fact that the population has been reduced by 95%. And I'll tell you what, that 5% is in bad shape. I'm in the 1% of the 5%, And I'm in the 1% of that. And so if I'd kept my money in the stock market, I would be a new tier of wealth called financially invincible. But I'm not. I'm just here with billions and billions of dollars in Bitcoin I don't have access to, while just electronic butt plugs with wings are whizzing around the room like the snitch from the Harry Potter movies.
Not to, yuck your yum or question your kinks. Why do they have wings?
So they can fly around the room. What are you not getting? Look, when you can make a butt plug fly around the room with an internet connectivity, when it occurred to me that I could put butt plugs on Wi-Fi, I was like, yeah, I know nobody should want this, but what if someone might? And so, look, all my sex toys, they've got wings, they're Wi-Fi enabled, and they hate me. They're trying to kill me. It's horrible in here.
Well, it gives a whole new meaning to the word rebooting.
Oh, I wish I could turn them off. I've tried every password that I can think of. I've tried my mother's maiden name. I tried my father's maiden name. He took my mother's name. They switched to be equitable. I think it was actually very progressive. I tried my porn star name, which, you know, some people, there's like this rumor that it's like the street you lived on and your first pet. That mine was not a, that doesn't make a good porn star name for me.
What was your street you lived on in your first pet?
Well, I grew up on Withering Lane. And my first pet was named. My first pet was a goldfish named Penis. So my porn star name would have been Withering Penis. So I tried that. And that didn't work. I've tried all the things. I tried I've got on my Bitcoin wallet, I had it ask me the security questions, but in case I was being hacked by someone who knew me well from my many autobiographies, I made up false answers to the security questions. So it's you know, when it says, who is your childhood best friend? Obviously, my childhood best friend was Samuel Wintersley, as chronicled in the volume one of my autobiography. But people know that, so I made up a lie, but I don't know the name of my fake friends. It's driving me crazy. And, oh, shoot, just cock ring in the eye. Winged cock ring right in the eye. This is... the agony is unimaginable.
Well, I mean, maybe I can't help you with your password, but you're trying to turn these implements off, either mechanically speaking or emotionally. Maybe you should tell them about, like, your grandma or something. That is usually the least sexy talk.
I'll try, but my grandma was smoking hot. This is going to be a real problem. Maybe I could tell about someone else's grandma, like a less hot grandma. Hey, okay, look, you flying dildos. Just picture like a kind of a wrinkly, like a soft, gentle under. Hold on, my tricep area is very soft and tender, like an old person's. Look at that. It looks like a meringue with kind of peaks. And it melts in your mouth. Oh, okay, it's working a little bit, but it's just kind of like, some of them are like more into it. Some of them are like, you can tell it's like, it's their thing. So it worked half, and then half, it's very bad. I'm worried because my workforce has dispersed. First of all, it was reduced by 95%, and then the 5% realized that my murder drones had left to kind of endeavor on this bigger legislative project. They unionized. So now they have health insurance. And with the proper health care, they're now strong enough to, when I escape from this dungeon, to beat me up if they want. And so I'm paying them a living wage to do their work, which I said I couldn't. But mostly I meant I didn't want to. And so that's my Bitcoin fortune is being siphoned off by the day to pay my employees like a fair wage, which is, it's reducing my fortune at a level which is actually, it's sustainable, but I don't like it. And that's causing me a lot of anguish too. Like, I'm still very wealthy, but like less, more wealthy than I thought. And that is, it, that almost hurts worse than the flying butt plugs, if we're being honest.
Well, you know, other than Samuel Wintersley, when you were a child, your best friend was money, wasn't it?
Oh, hold on. Okay, I just typed in $$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$ Oh, this is the best. Thank you. Money. Why? How did I not think of that? This is incredible. Okay. Just give me 1 second. Okay, I've turned off all the Wi-Fi enabled sex toys. They all kind of like they fell to the ground in a noise that I imagine was like a one of the 10 plagues besetting upon Earth, just like a pitter pattering as they all fell to Earth. The air was dense with electric sex, and now the ground is thick with it. But this is huge. Thank you so much. I feel like this is where it all begins for me. This is where I'm coming back. Oh, I feel so physically, I feel so bad. But this is where I start building back. Like Bob the Sentient Trash Island and Vice President The Rock Johnson, I too will bring my empire back to its glorious form. This is incredible. Thank you.
Well, I'd better let you get off.
Nope. Getting off is a real problem. Nobody's getting off. I'm never going to think about sex again. Sorry, please continue.
I'll let you walk calmly away. Just before you go, though, could I ask one question?
Of course.
Do AI machine learning dildos dream of electric sheep sex?
Oh yeah, so the thing about my electronic dildos is that they are called Philip K. Dicks, and yeah, they love sheep. That is programmed into them. That's kind of an Easter egg, which is the name of my it's a special electronic butt plug that I have, because you gotta search for it.
Because it's a chocolate surprise. All right, off you go. Best of luck to you. I hope your bones last.
Oh yeah, I think. I've crawled up the stairs to my stash of Soylent, and I'm suckling from it like a newborn baby on a teat. And I can feel myself growing stronger and more optimized by the moment.
Well, best of luck to Josh. I hope he can rebuild both his business empire and his bone density. And I'm certainly glad that he escaped from those winged dildos. Now we have our next guest in the show, if we can get through to his ruined compound that is a horrifying funfair murder dome. Gareth Reynolds reporting in. Hello, hello.
Hello, Alice. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you? How's the post-apocalypse going for you?
I hate to be the guy who says that I'm loving it, but I am loving it. I am really... It's great. It is better than the pre-apocalypse for me. I am like a pig in excrement, which is what I see a lot of actual people doing around me. But personally, I am well, very well.
Well, we'll get to your personal apocalypse. That's our second top story for the day. But first, we have an extract from Bed and Boardroom by Dancy Lagarde. If you don't know, Dancy Lagarde is a self-published romance maven and online bestseller. And Bed and Boardroom is set in the 90s era of the before times.
Yes, what an era, yeah. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Fine, I won't talk then, he sulked, insulted that she thought his theory about business sabotage was nonsense. Annabelle sighed and leaned over to adjust his bedding. Despite her annoyance, she was still drawn to his chiseled jaw and took the opportunity to brush her sensitive wrists against his manly shoulders, straining at the novelty puppy t-shirt that was the only thing in her B&B that fit his massive, straining muscles. How does a businessman get so jacked? She wondered. Not knowing that Gable celebrated every business victory with 1,000 push-ups. As she leaned over to fluff his flowery pillow, Gable couldn't help but notice Annabelle's womanliness. She was all woman, he thought, manlily, pulling an embroidered throw cushion over his lap to hide the evidence of his desire. Her scent was arty, like her hand-painted smock, and she was nothing like his usual type, tall, oily models without opinions, who liked expensive oysters. He drew in a breath. "Do you like oysters, Annabelle?" he said, forgetting his stoical silence. She sighed, exasperated. "This is your idea of a real conversation? No wonder you always talk about business sabotage." Despite himself, he laughed. "Yes, it's all business sabotage and oysters with me." "Well," she huffed, breathing her gentle lady mouth moisture onto his overheated face. "I guess it's a start." You can find more in Bed and Boardroom by Dancy Lagarde.
I am, I'm turned up a little after that.
Well, I'm glad that you are turned up. Certainly, our previous guest had a little too much arousal going on in his environment. Mm. Obviously, we are working on the last post in this new post-apocalyptic world. So I want to hear about what things are like for you down there on the ground. I'm here safe up in my orbiting spaceship / luxury podcasting studio. So I want to connect with the real people down on Earth.
Well, Alice, I would recommend, yeah, you do, because I have found a way. It came down to personal survival, is what it came down to. And, you know, you see everybody scrounging for every crumb and morsel and people fighting themselves over little sips of water and things like that. And to me, I thought, I cannot live like this. I will die like this. I will die fighting my fellow humans or beings, as it were, for just crumbs. So I hatched a plan, and this is between us, because if word got out here, the whole grift is up in smoke. But I just told them that I talk to God, and the clout that gives you, I have to say, when in doubt, say that you talk to a deity, because that has given me not only the respect that I was craving, but as far as my financials and the foods and beverages around me, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. I am treated so well here.
Well, I'm so glad to hear it. When you said you hatched a plan, I was a little bit worried that you'd hatched another dragon. And as you know, this is how we got into this whole situation. I'm glad that it is just talking to God. How did you manage that?
Again, I'm very sorry. Can I just say that how regrettable that situation is? The dragon. What was your question? I'm sorry. I was looking at some cherries.
That is all right. I'm just going to say, you know, in this world, you can't be the only person who has had that idea. How did you manage to persuade people that you were the one who was talking to God?
Well,
I know you have acting skills, but they're, you know, no offense, a little rusty.
You are right to question them. As we all know, it has been very nice, because it has sort of felt like I've been able to kind of, you know, I'm bit by the acting bug again, you know, as well as other bugs. There's a lot of bugs, but the acting bug is the one that I'm interested in. And I'm playing a character. I go by the name Z. Okay, so long story short, you know, I tell these people, hey, I talked to God, and he insists that we're going to have a great fall crop if we put me in charge. Now, of course, right off the bat, 75% of the people believed me. They just bought right in. But then there's this sect of 25 people who say, oh, really? Well, how do we know you're not just some jerk who just, you know, went over to that bush and said you talked to God? So I said that he gave me a superpower to drink my own urine. Now, I know that that's disgusting, but you drink one glass of urine in front of these people and they'll give you the nuclear codes. I mean, they were very, very trusting after that. About once a week, I have to drink a pee. Now it's a stage pee. It's not my real pee anymore. But the first one was real. And just since then, it's been smooth sailing. And then every couple of days, I just come out and say, you know, God told me something different. And, you know, he said that I've been saying that God wants a lot of ciabatta bread, because that's a phase I'm going through. I'm just loving ciabatta bread right now. Just little olive oil, salt and pepper on toast. You can't beat it. And the next thing you know, because God wants it, I'm getting a lot of ciabatta bread. So, compared to a lot of other people, I am loving it. Loving it.
I'm so glad, Gareth. Could you walk me through your compound? I'm trying to make a mind picture here of what it looks like, what you've set up. Obviously, you've had a month so far sort of get things moving. Can you sort of walk me through how it looks?
Well, this is the bed, and as you can see, the bedroom is just enormous. I don't even need this much room, but again, I'll take it. I'm not going to complain. It's a water bed, and those, I think we all know those kind of, yeah, look, that's the reaction a lot of people have at first. They think water bed, that's weird, that's creepy. Let me tell you something. Get back into the waterbed, okay? I don't know why we glossed over it. We got so caught up in our systems before. But waterbeds are fantastic. So I have the waterbed here. Then right next to it, I have a little pool. So I have a water and then I have a waterbed. So I can go straight from swimming in my little pool to the waterbed. It's very aquatic. The whole theme is aquatic. Next to that, the aquarium. This is where I keep a lot of the fish, lobsters, things like that that I'll eat. Again, I love shellfish, and it probably sounds shellfish of me to say that I get it all, but I do, which is great. Billiard room, game room, man cave, this area, man cave here. You know, billiard table, Dance Dance Revolution, all the staples, all the musts. It looks like an arcade. Through here,
yeah,
bathroom.
It is in an abandoned carnival, right? It's in an abandoned fun fair.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I just leaned in. Yeah, exactly. And then through here, bathroom, standard stuff, nothing exceptional there. Obviously, another waterbed in the bathroom. Sometimes after I make wet, I just want to pass out. I don't know about you. It gets so hot here in the winter. And then the kitchen. The kitchen does most of its most of it's pretty self-explanatory. I have a brick pizza oven here. Yeah, just whatever I need is here. It is marvelous.
And
it's a marvelous space.
I'm really glad that you're having such a nice time. Where do your acolytes, followers?
Well, they're not in here.
No.
They're not in. Yes, they're not. Okay, for a second, I thought you were suggesting are
no,
they
no,
in
no.
this room?
I mean, obviously, they're in the greater sort of funfair area, but where do you stash them?
There's a fenced in. Pen, I guess I'd call it for lack of a better term, an area where they can graze and roam. And then when I feel like feeding them, I can put some, you know, of my orange rinds down this little chute down here. And they love it. I mean, when I feed them food, they love it. They, you know, I'm talking not much either. I'll just throw down some Jell-O seeds or something like that. And these people just lose their minds. It's really something. It is something to behold.
Well, I'm glad. There is a lot of beholding going on there, though. I've heard some rumors that it is, as well as being an abandoned fun fair, it is also a bit of a murder dome there sometimes.
Yeah. But Alice, I mean, let's be fair. I mean, we're living in the post-apocalypse. Anywhere you go, you're going to find a lot of murder. There's a ton of murder here. And look, you might be leading me to the question of, do I ever make them fight for sport? And the answer is yeah. I mean, I'm human. Yeah, I'm human. You know, there's doesn't seem anything wrong for me to make two fellas fight over a buffalo wing shirtless in some sand. I mean, to me, that's one of the upsides of being in the position that I'm in. But it is what it is. I mean, look, I would rather go back to normal times, but I'm leaning in. And I'm really enjoying it. I feel retired in a lot of ways.
Well, look, I absolutely admire your go-get-em-ness and, you know, in some occasions, your literal go-get-em-ness, the sort of human hunts where you gather more people into your funfair murder dome bush cult.
Yes.
How do you plan for one of those hunts?
I navigate them. Someone will have wronged. So each Friday night we have public wrongings, where people will be called out in front of me for things they've done wrong. If the other followers react negatively, we'll take it to a vote, which is just me. I'm the only one who votes. And if I think that the behavior is egregious and does need punishment, we'll take them on a hunt. Then it's just your regular, you know, fox hunt, essentially. Person gets a 20-minute head start. I'll be on horseback following them. You know, anyone who brings me an ear or a finger gets a, you know, I kiss them or I give them a little prize or something. It's the little things for these people. It really is. They just want a piece of me. And then once we find him, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. You know, it's cut and paste. You cut the person and then you paste them on a tree. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Gareth. That's all the time we have for our top story right now. And if I ever descend to Earth, I'll drop by and give you a visit.
Alice, please, if you come to Earth, I will be so pissed off if you don't come here and hang out, honestly.
Well, thank you very much. Now it's time for our letters to the editor. Will you stick around for our letters to the editor, Gareth?
Yeah, good. Absolutely. I'd love to. Yeah, I'm just cooking a raccoon up here, so I gotta keep eyes on it anyway.
And may I say, it looks delicious. It's now time for our letters to the editor. Remember, you too can send a letter to the editor at our new email address. Our post-apocalyptic email address is thelastpost@thebuglepodcast.com. This letter comes in from Stacey. Stacey says, thank you, Alice, and non-Alice, that's you today, Gareth, or should I call that's you Z?
Very a title I love.
Thank you for 366 days of light in the darkness, disinfectant in the shit, matter in the vacuum. Please take a breath, not too close to anyone, and do it all again. Regards, Stacey. Well, Stacey, thank you very much for your letter. I don't think you should be telling Gareth where to breathe, is all I'm saying.
I tell people where to breathe. I'm Z.
And if to breathe.
Thank you. Yep, exactly. If I grant it.
That's all the time we have for the letters to the editor. Remember, you too can send a letter to the editor by writing to us at thelastpost@thebuglepodcast.com. That's the end of the show. Thank you for listening to The Last Post, the post-apocalyptic Last Post. Post-apocalypse? The Last Post-apocalypse? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll be back in your ears the next time the moon comes close enough to my pod station to jack the signal across, or the glitch lets one slip, depending on whether you're listening in my dimension or yours. The Last Post is an Alice Fraser and the Bugle Podcasts production. I'm Alice Fraser. Find me online at alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's A-L-I-T-E-R-A-T-I-V-E. Or for one-stop shop of all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, and blogs, sign up on patreon.com/AliceFraser for a behind-the-scenes look at my glamorous life. A big hello to our listeners in the other dimension. Apparently, we have lost 69 half a glass of water t-shirts in your dimension, so you can find them at thebuglepodcast.com under the merch link if you would like a t-shirt to declare your allegiance in this post-apocalyptic wasteland. The executive producer of this podcast is Christopher D. Skinner. His sub-producer, Hench Thug, the edit suite factotum, is the iron fist inside his velvet glove, the inimitable Ped Hunter. As we always say, good luck to you, Christopher, and I'll talk to you again next month.
The Last Post with Alice Fraser.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.